live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 30th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Hurricane Ian takes aim at the Carolinas as Florida deals with the devastation.
Stocks begin the last day of the quarter at 22-month lows.
The pound recoups all its losses after last week's tax cut announcement.
And we'll tell you why shares of Nike are not doing it for investors this morning.
Shock, grief, and outrage over the random stabbing death of a New York City EMS veteran. Plus, Russian President Putin will finalize annexation of Ukraine regions. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The big Mets-Braves series begins tonight in Atlanta. Aaron Judge and the Yankees host the Orioles. NFL Bengals beat the Dolphins.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 35 points, Dow futures up 231, and NASDAQ futures up 103. 10-year Treasury up 18 30 seconds, yield 3.71%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll get back to markets in a minute, but first we want to get you the latest on Hurricane Ian. It is a hurricane again, set for landfall later today in South Carolina. President Biden has already declared an emergency for the state. This woman is in Fort Myers, Florida, where Ian came in as a powerful Category 4 storm.
I am the stupidest woman. I'm from Florida. I went through Andrew, Irma. I decided to stay. Did not know it was going to get to be a 4 and a 5.
President Biden says Ian could be one of the deadliest storms in Florida's history.
The numbers are still unclear, but we're hearing early reports of what may be substantial loss of life.
And the president says he has been in touch with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The governor says it will take time to confirm casualties, but rescuers have been busy.
There have been more than 700 confirmed rescues, and there's likely many more than that that will be confirmed as more data comes in.
Governor DeSantis says the state is trucking in supplies to those in need, but blackouts could last for days.
And we'll keep you posted on the latest damage and disruption from this storm. But first, Nathan, let's turn back to the markets. It's the last day of the third quarter, and stocks begin the session at a 22-month low. So far this quarter, $1.3 trillion has been wiped off the value of the S&P 500. And CFRA Chief Investment Strategist Sam Stovall says October could be even worse.
Even though September does have a reputation of being volatile, 21% of the trading days in September typically see a 1% move either up or down. But we've had 2.5 times that number this year. And if you think September's bad, just wait till October, because that traditionally sees 36% more volatility than the average for the other 11 months of the year.
CFRA Sam Stovall expects stocks to soon retest their lows.
And hawkish talk from the Fed's been weighing on markets, Karen. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly says the central bank is committed to raising interest rates until it restores price stability.
Navigating the economy toward a more sustainable path necessitates higher interest rates and a downshift in the pace of economic activity and the labor market. But for now, inducing a deep recession, the kind we had back in the 1980s, or some would even think of the Great Recession, that is not warranted.
San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly says she is worried about possibly tightening policy too much.
Well, the Fed is keeping its eye on economic data, Nathan, including another report on sentiment this morning. We get September's reading from the University of Michigan at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index has been recovering after setting a record low in June. Gasoline prices have eased somewhat. Dangers persist, though. There's talk of recession, with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates to fight inflation. Moreover, Bloomberg Economics says Americans are wary of the inflation outlook, with uncertainty about the cost of living running at the highest in 40 years. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. In Europe this morning, the pound has rallied back to levels last seen before the government announced controversial tax cuts last week. Let's go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The pound higher for a fourth day today. This is traders speculate that the government will be forced to backtrack from its big package of unfunded tax cuts that battered the currency and bond markets earlier this week. The move caps an extremely volatile week for UK markets, which saw the dramatic intervention of the Bank of England. New Prime Minister Liz Truss is at the Conservative Party conference this weekend, and one fresh opinion poll puts her 33 points behind the opposition Labour Party. Elsewhere, just in the last few minutes, euro area inflation has hit double digits for the first time ever. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. In Asia overnight, stocks fell again, putting the regional benchmark on course for its worst monthly performance since 2008. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index remained at April 2020 lows to cap its seventh straight week of declines. Equities in Japan, which has the highest weight in the Asia Index, were the biggest losers. Chinese tech shares listed in Hong Kong also under pressure. And over the week, the regional benchmark index fell 4.5%, the most in 3 months. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Back here in the U.S., we have some corporate news of note, including the end of an era at Facebook parent Meta. CEO Mark Zuckerberg has outlined plans to reorganize teams and reduce headcount for the first time ever. Bloomberg technology reporter Kurt Wagner broke the news late yesterday.
In some cases, you know, when someone leaves a team, they're just not going to fill that role again. Some people are going to be moving from team to team. And then in some cases, they're going to be kicking out low performers, right? Which is a pretty drastic thing that we haven't seen at Facebook in a long time or ever. And so this really just feels like a moment, right? This company that has been growing and expanding for 18 years, finally hitting a bit of an issue here.
Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner says Meta will likely be a smaller company in 2023 than it was this year. Right now, the shares are up more than 1% in early trading.
Well, on the flip side, Nathan, shares of Nike down more than 9%. The company reported a surge in inventory and is pushing through discounts that hurt profitability. Higher freight costs and foreign exchange effects are also hurting Nike.
And Micron is slashing production, Karen, because of a steep plunge in demand. The biggest U.S. chipmaker is forecasting quarterly sales almost $2 billion below estimates. So the stock is higher on news Japan will subsidize Micron's push to produce its new advanced chips in Hiroshima. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it is now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 53 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the westbound Hempstead Turnpike near Route 106. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A suspect is in custody in the fatal stabbing of a 61-year-old FDNY Emergency Medical Services lieutenant. Police say she was stabbed multiple times yesterday afternoon in an unprovoked attack while on duty. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
One of our heroes, Allison Russo, a 25-year veteran of the fire department, was stabbed by an assailant.
Mayor Adams says Russo was standing outside FDNY EMS station in Queens when the violence occurred. Russo was taken to a Queens hospital where she was pronounced dead. Russo's death sparked an outpouring of emotion and sympathy outside the hospital with lots of tears and hugs. NYPD Commissioner Keechan Sewell.
This deadly, senseless, broad daylight attack on a uniformed EMT member is a direct assault on our society. It is the latest consequence of the violence that we relentlessly fight in our city.
The suspect, a 34-year-old man, has not been charged yet. Police so far did not have a motive for the stabbing. Russian President Vladimir Putin is expected to deliver a major address at the Kremlin today, formally annexing four Ukrainian regions. This after holding what Ukraine and Western countries said were phony referendums in the Russian-occupied areas. President Biden made it clear the U.S. will never recognize Russia's attempt to claim Ukrainian territory.
This so-called referendum was a sham. An absolute sham. The results were manufactured in Moscow.
President Biden made his comments to Pacific Island leaders at the White House. The wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas appeared before the January 6th committee investigating the Capitol riot. In the days after the 2020 election, Jenny Thomas urged the Trump White House to fight back and emailed state lawmakers asking them to help overturn the election results. Committee Chairman Benny Thompson said that she answered some of the questions that were put before her. Her lawyer later came out and said she answered all the questions. The Senate voted overwhelmingly to approve an interim spending bill that would keep the government open until mid-December. The House still has to consider the legislation. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. You can't underestimate the significance of this Mets-Braves series that begins tonight in Atlanta, though both teams are going to the playoffs. Winning the division means not having to play in a best-of-three wild-card series. It means being able to set up your rotation so your best pitchers can go to the start of the division round, and it means not having to play the Dodgers until the NLCS. Dodgers have won 108 games. Mets lead the Braves by one. They'll have Jacob deGrom on the mound tonight with Max Scherzer going tomorrow, and the Mets have called up their top prospect, 20-year-old catcher Francisco Alvarez. He might be the DH tonight. Yankees home for the Orioles. When Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's home run record in 1974, he broke it in his first game after tying it. We'll see if Aaron Judge does likewise. Judge has had this remarkable season as a free agent to be. The Yankees want to re-sign him. The team president is Randy LeMay.
I think he likes being a Yankee. We love having him be a Yankee. You know, being a Yankee is different than anything else. So I'm hopeful. All I can tell you is Hal Steinbrenner, the entire organization, myself, Brian Cashman, we're not going to leave any stone unturned in trying to bring him back.
Randy LeMay, a guest on the Bloomberg Business of Sports, heard tonight at 7, or listen to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast. Thursday Night Football kicking off week 4. Cincinnati rallied fourth quarter, beat Miami 27-15. First loss of the Dolphins leaves Philadelphia as the NFL's lone unbeaten. Despite the storm in Tampa, the Chiefs-Bucks game will be played in Tampa on Sunday night. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures right now are up 33 points. Dow futures down 220, or up 224. They are higher this morning. And NASDAQ futures are on the rise by 98 points. We check in next with Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank, looking ahead to the fourth quarter after three straight down quarters this year. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy, upper 60s today. Light rain from Ian moves in tomorrow. We'll have a high near 65 and showers Sunday, low 60s. Right now, 53 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech. European stocks rising with government bonds signaling a potential recovery at the end of a tumultuous week in markets. U.S. stock index futures are also gaining following another bruising session on Wall Street that took the S&P 500 down 2% to the lowest in almost 2 years and sent the tech-heavy NASDAQ tumbling almost 4%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 28 points this morning. Dow futures up 183 and NASDAQ futures up 82. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 18/32, yield 3.71%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.4%, up $1.17 at $82.40 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $10.80 at $16.79.30 an ounce. The euro, 0.9825 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1175. The yen, 144.28. And Bitcoin this morning, up 0.33% at $19,500. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ian, now a hurricane again, is threatening to carve a new path of destruction through South Carolina today when it roars ashore north of Charleston. Forecasters say the storm will drive a surge of water into the city of 3 to 6 feet. Government officials say Russian President Vladimir Putin will officially annex 4 occupied regions of Ukraine, totaling 15% of Ukraine's territory, at a formal signing ceremony today. The UN Secretary General condemned Russia's action, saying it has no legal value and must not be accepted. In baseball, the Yankees host the Orioles tonight. Aaron Judge will go for 62 homers, passing Roger Maris' AL record. Last night, the Red Sox beat the Orioles 5-3. The A's lost. The Giants won. Thursday night football, the Bengals beat the Dolphins 27-15. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we get ready to close the books on another rough quarter for equities, we're joined this morning by Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank. Esty, good morning. We're seeing some relief going on in futures this morning, but we've seen $1.3 trillion in value wiped from the S&P 500 this quarter. How much further could this bearishness go?
Good morning. Well, that is the question on everyone's mind. I think there is still room to go as we continue to get some bad news or some bad surprises, including from a couple of companies ahead of the earnings season. But at the same time, markets have become so negative, sentiment is so bearish, positioning is very light, cash levels are high. I think the downside is starting to become more limited now.
Are you looking for a bottom pretty soon then? Where would that bottom be for you?
Well, so the level is tricky at this point. We've seen some very big moves in markets just throughout the day, right? So this morning's futures could very easily reverse later. But I think at some point in October, we're going to start to see a reversal in risk assets. It'll take time and it probably won't be in a straight line, but I think we are going to have a better performance into the end of the year.
Despite the Fed continuing to hammer the drum for higher for longer interest rates, you think we could start to see a little bit more of a positive sentiment move in despite that?
I think the market knows that higher for longer is staying, that there won't be a Fed pivot even if growth starts to weaken. But you're getting continued signs of disinflation, and I think that is going to continue, and that's going to help alleviate some of the market fears that the Fed doesn't have to be more aggressive than what they've laid out right now. And at some point within the next sort of month and a half or something, once we get to that November meeting, we'll have hiked over 4% in just, 6 or 9 months. The Fed knows that there is a lag effect, and it might give it a little bit of time. So we might be closer to something, maybe not a pause, a normalization in the rates or a few smaller rates to come, but the bulk should soon be behind us. And I think that's going to help markets as well.
So where are you going to look for opportunity then if we start to see interest rates level off at least? Where is the opportunity?
Well, we're looking to gradually add back to equity markets. And again, this is going to take a bit of time. For now, it really still is all about cash. But within equities, I think tech should do well at the next earnings season. I think they'll prove to be more, or the majority of the companies will prove to be more resilient. And I think that will help lead the market higher.
How do you see earnings shaking out overall? We've had a lot of earnings downgrades up to this point. We've gotten yet more news from Meta platforms about job cuts, Nike coming in with some negative readings as well. Is there further downgrades in store, or could we see companies start to position themselves a little more positively?
I don't think we're going to see a lot of more positive. What we're seeing is that in general, end demand hasn't softened so much. It's a lot. I mean, it's margins for Nike. The FX revenue, obviously, they didn't count it so much, but that's not helping. Very often, you've still seen that sort of consumption hold up a little bit. And some of these job openings or job cuts are feeding right into what the Fed wants to hear, right? So that's going to be a little helpful. But I do think the market is prepared for bad news and is starting to price in quite a bit of bad news from the earnings season. We'll see if we get a couple of big surprises that are much worse than expected, but I wouldn't expect too much of much better than expected, maybe just the markets thinking not worse than expected.
Just about 30 seconds left here, Esty, but when it comes to bad news, what's your feeling on whether we could be in for a recession, whether it could be a long-lasting recession? What's your call on that?
For now, I mean, I think we're going to have some kind of slowdown, or as in a protracted slowdown. I don't know how deep it's going to be. I think we can hover close to zero or below and then recover at some point next year. But I'm not in the deep recession camp today.
Thanks, Esty. Great having you on with us this morning. Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank. As we watch futures rise just a bit, S&P futures are up 25 points, Dow futures up 174, and NASDAQ futures a gain of 69 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 18/32, yield 3.71%, and the yield on the 2-year right now, 4.15. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy, upper 60s today. Light rain for Ian moves in tomorrow. We'll get into the mid-60s. Showers for Sunday, low 60s for highs. Right now, 53 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Hurricane Ian is due for a second landfall today north of Charleston, South Carolina. President Biden's declared an emergency for the entire state. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster's urging residents to get ready.
Call your family. Call your loved ones. Tell them where you're going to be. Let them know that so they won't be worrying about you.
Meantime, the cleanup and recovery in Florida is just getting started. Governor Ron DeSantis says first responders have performed more than 700 rescues.
There's not been, in these rescue efforts, deceased people found as of yet. Now, that may change, of course.
Governor DeSantis says power outages in southwest Florida could be lengthy.
Well, as for the markets, Nathan, U.S. futures are higher as we close out the trading week. Yesterday, the S&P 500 closed at a 22-month low. Joanne Feeney is a portfolio manager at Advisors Capital Management.
You have to look back at history and recognize that the market sells off the most, right? Tend to do that before recessions begin, and they right. tend to start to recover before we even know officially that we've had a recession. And so for a long enough term investor, I mean a year, 2 years, 3 years, there are some pretty good opportunities out there, but one has to be able to stomach the volatility, which doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon.
Joanne Feeney with Advisors Capital Management says $1.3 trillion has been wiped off the value of the S&P 500 this quarter.
And value of Nike is getting wiped off as well, Karen. Shares are down more than 9% in early trading. The sportswear company reported inventories surged and it's had to push through discounts that hurt profitability. Higher freight costs, markdowns, and foreign exchange effects hit Nike's gross margin in the latest quarter.
Well, Micron is slashing production because of a steep plunge in demand, Nathan. The biggest U.S. chipmaker is forecasting quarterly sales that are almost $2 billion below estimates. But the stock is higher this morning on news that Japan will subsidize Micron's push to produce its new advanced chips in Hiroshima. Futures this morning, we're watching those. They're higher. S&P futures up 27 points. Dow futures up 182. NASDAQ futures up 75. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 20/32. Yield 3.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 83 cents at $82.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $11.10 at $16.79.80 an ounce. The euro 0.981. 1.9 against the dollar and the British pound 1.1186, the yen 144.25. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 53 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with the accident westbound Hempstead Turnpike. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A suspect is in custody in the fatal stabbing of a 61-year-old FDNY Emergency Medical Services lieutenant. Police say Allison Russo was stabbed yesterday afternoon in a random attack while on duty standing outside an FDNY EMS station in Queens. Russo was rushed to a hospital where she was pronounced dead. New York Mayor Eric Adams.
She was working for this city. She paid the ultimate sacrifice because of that.
Russo's death sparked an outpouring of emotion and sympathy outside the hospital with lots of tears and hugs. Laura Kavanaugh is the acting FDNY commissioner.
Lieutenant Russo exemplified FDNY EMS. She served the city for 25 years. She was a World Trade Center first responder. She was cited multiple times for her bravery and her life-saving work.
The suspect, a 34-year-old man, has not been charged yet. An official says a Russian strike on the Ukrainian city of Zaporizhia killed at least 23 people and wounded dozens. At least 28 others were wounded when Russian forces targeted a humanitarian convoy heading to Russian-occupied territory. It happened just hours before Moscow planned to annex more of Ukraine in an escalation of the seven-month war. President Biden called Russia's so-called referendum aimed at annexing Ukrainian land an absolute sham.
The United States, I want to be very clear about this, the United States will never recognize Russia's claims on Ukraine. Sovereign territory.
Biden made his comments speaking to Pacific Island leaders at the White House. The wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas appeared before the January 6th committee investigating the Capitol riot. Jenny Thomas answered questions behind closed doors for 4 hours. In the days after the 2020 election, she urged the Trump White House to fight back and emailed state lawmakers asking them to help overturn the election results. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has a Bloomberg Sports update.
Thanks, Nathan. For several months now, the Mets have been trying to hold off the Atlanta Braves. This weekend will determine whether they can continue to. Mets hold a one-game lead. One win in the three-game series gives them the tiebreaker. The Mets changed their rotation. They moved Jacob deGrom up to go tonight. He actually comes off a bad outing. Max Scherzer goes tomorrow. The storm's gone through Atlanta. The weather for the series should be okay. Yankees host the Orioles. Aaron Judge has tied Roger Maris, now tries to surpass him. Roger Maris Jr. has been attending all of Judge's recent games.
I actually get to meet, you know, Aaron's mom, coming here to sit with her. That was a lot of fun, getting to know her, getting to know a little bit about the family, and, you know, getting to kind of see why Aaron carries himself the way he does, because obviously getting to meet her, spending some time with her, you can kind of see that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
As great as Judge's season has been, there are some who feel Shohei Ohtani should win a second straight MVP. He's fourth in the league in home runs and second in wins. Last night got his 15th win, struck out 10. Ohtani took a no-hitter to the eighth inning. Last Sunday, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa looked wobbly, like he had a head injury. Only missed three snaps. Said later it wasn't his head but his back. The union wanted an investigation into why he was allowed to continue to play, and they may want another one. Tua cleared to play again last night in Cincinnati, and this time a definite head injury, perhaps his neck as well. Tua taken off the field on a stretcher, taken to the hospital. He is expected to be released today. Miami had the lead in the fourth quarter, but lost to the Bengals 27-15. That's the first loss for the Dolphins, at least Philadelphia, as the NFL's lone unbeaten. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the state will follow California in requiring all new vehicles sold by 2035 to be zero emissions. Hochul first announced New York's 2035 deadline in September 2021, but the state could not begin implementation until California finalized its own ban. An American Airlines Group alliance with JetBlue has placed most of flights by U.S. carriers in New York's primary airports into the hands of two major airlines. That's according to an executive from rival carrier Spirit Airlines at an antitrust trial Thursday. Princeton University is moving to sever financial ties with fossil fuel companies as the school distances itself from major greenhouse gas emitters. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potas. On 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Versace's plan to revamp its Madison Avenue boutiques.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Amazon will close four of its five customer call centers in the U.S.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that Airbnb guests in the path of Hurricane Ian will have to rely on the generosity of hosts for refunds.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on the recovery
in the pound, a week on from the Chancellor's mini-budget that sparked turmoil in the market.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert has dropped out of Forbes' list of the top five richest sports owners in America.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. A rush to dump UK government bonds following a botched budget announcement forced a dramatic intervention by the Bank of England this week. A clearer indictment of economic mismanagement would be hard to imagine. Having started so calamitously, what can Britain's new Prime Minister Liz Truss do to repair the damage? The best advice for Truss comes down to this. Stop trying to be exciting. This means coordinating quietly with, and if necessary, deferring to, officials at the Bank of England who are responsible for curbing inflation and restoring financial stability. The perception that the Treasury and the central bank are at odds over macroeconomic policy is fatal to both aims. Many Tories must be missing Truss's predecessor, Boris Johnson, the leader they belatedly sacked for serial mismanagement. If that doesn't induce Truss to reset, what will? This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're going to talk much more about the volatility in the pound after the release of Prime Minister Truss's mini budget. We'll be speaking next with Libby Cherry, FX and rates reporter for Bloomberg News, joining us from London this morning. And looking at the cable rate right now, pretty much where it was before that budget was announced, at 1.1159 against the dollar. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly cloudy today, upper 60s for highs. Light rain tomorrow, mid-60s. Showers for Sunday, low 60s to round out the weekend. Right now, 53 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are rising along with government bonds, signaling a potential recovery at the end of a tumultuous week in markets. U.S. stock index futures are also gaining following another bruising session on Wall Street that took the S&P 500 down to 2%, to the lowest in almost 2 years, and sent the Nasdaq tumbling almost 4%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 27 points, Dow futures up 179, and Nasdaq futures up 75. The DAX injury Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 24/32, yield 3.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 70 cents at $81.92 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $8.50 at $16.77.10 an ounce. The euro, 0.9809 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1166. And the yen at 144.34. And Bitcoin this morning is up almost 0.2% at $19,500. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A revived Hurricane Ian is bearing down on South Carolina's coast and the historic city of Charleston, with forecasters predicting a storm surge and floods. Earlier, Ian caused catastrophic damage in Florida, leaving people trapped in flooded homes and causing several deaths. Vladimir Putin will sign documents formalizing Russia's annexation of four occupied regions in Ukraine in a show of defiance. Ukraine, the U.S., and allies called the so-called referendums a sham. In baseball, the Yankees host the Orioles tonight. Aaron Judge will go for home run number 62, passing Roger Maris' AL record. Last night, the Red Sox beat the Orioles 5-3. The A's lost. The Giants won. Thursday night football, the Bengals beat the Dolphins 27-15. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to focus on the currency markets this morning, specifically the pound. We've been watching it all week. It has had quite the week, hasn't it, after UK Prime Minister Liz Truss came out with those tax cuts, then the Bank of England stepped in with unlimited bond purchase plans. You look at the cable rate this morning, though, and it's almost back to where it started. Let's bring in Libby Cherry for more on this. She's an FX and rates reporter for Bloomberg News and joins us now from our European headquarters in London. Libby, is this calm returning to the cable market, or is it too soon to say that?
Hi there. I think it's probably a bit too soon to say that. So what we've kind of seen over the last week, as you say, we've seen some very volatile trading, you know, with the, you know, the pound kind of whipsawing on similar sort of, you know, event risks and so on. But I think the two things that have really been buoying the pound in the last week that has helped it kind of claw back from this record low. I mean, the one thing that you've already mentioned exactly is the Bank of England's intervention in the gilt market, I think, really helped reassure people, you know, that there isn't going to be this sort of further turmoil in the market, that there are authorities waiting on the sidelines to pick up the pieces. The other thing that's really helped it on its last leg higher in the last day or so and overnight is that there's expectations, or perhaps hopes would be the better word, that the UK government might actually, you know, water down some of its policies, or indeed, you know, give some further assurances to the market that they're, you know, that they are thinking about their fiscal credibility.
Well, what's giving traders those assurances, Libby? I mean, we heard from the Prime Minister, Liz Truss. She gave a bunch of interviews to local radio stations in the UK and seems to be doubling down on the tax cut plan. What's giving currency traders the idea that maybe she could back off a bit?
Well, exactly. But I think what kind of took people by surprise is that there is a planned meeting today with the between the government and the UK's fiscal watchdog. What's really significant about this is that the fiscal watchdog was initially sidelined when these original stimulus plans were being kind of developed, if that makes sense. And now that they're sort of communicating with them, there's a sense that the government is trying to at least kind of, you know, acknowledge the fact by bringing the OBR in that they are thinking about, you know, how this will kind of affect the UK's economy long term. Having said that, you are completely right. I think, you know, especially ahead of the Tory party conference, that's Liz Truss's party this weekend, it does seem pretty unlikely that there's going to be any real significant shift on policy anytime soon.
Could we see any further shifts from the Bank of England? Obviously, they came in with that announcement of unlimited long-dated gilt purchases. Could we see more intervention from the BOE?
It's an interesting question and one that people continue to rack their brains over. The traders have been, you can see in the swaps market, they were pricing in a sort of small chance of a hike ahead of the next scheduled policy decision. But those bets have been kind of tapered down. And for the moment, I think most people are thinking about, you know, potentially larger move from the Bank of England at its next policy decision in November. At the moment, traders have fully kind of priced in an 125 basis point move from the Bank of England by the time of that meeting, which would be, you know, a very large and, you know, unprecedented move by the Bank of England since its independence.
All right, Libby Cherry covering rates and FX for us from our London headquarters. Libby, thanks for this. And just checking the cable rate right now, the British pound is trading at 1.1174 against the dollar after hitting a record low earlier this week. Karen?
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. We get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A federal judge ruled that a New York-based Christian adoption provider can legally refuse to provide services to same-sex and unmarried couples. Sources say Uber has lobbied behind the scenes against legislation to nullify some non-disclosure agreements for workers alleging sexual harassment and assault. The National Labor Relations Board found that Hilton Hotels violated labor laws when it gave housekeepers in Alaska more work without consulting their union.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to the 2020 election. This week, a Senate committee approved the revamp of the Electoral Count Act. That's the 1887 law that sets out congressional procedures for certifying presidential elections. The legislation is intended to prevent a repeat of the 2020 election when former President Trump and his allies sought to challenge the results. Both the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell support the bill. For more on the legislation, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to elections law expert Richard Briffaut, a professor at Columbia Law School.
And so the Senate bill is a bipartisan effort, Republican Susan Collins and Democrat Joe Manchin. What does it do in general?
It does two very significant things. First, it declares that the role of the vice president, who is technically the president of the Senate and who under the Constitution has to preside over this process, has an entirely ministerial role. The vice president of the United States has to stand up there and declare what happens next and says, here's the result. That the vice president has no substantive role. As you may recall, this was one of the high points of the controversy after the last election when then-President Trump insisted that then-Vice President Pence had the authority to declare that certain electoral votes were invalid and not to count them. And Pence himself said he didn't have that authority. This makes it clear that the vice president has no such authority, that the vice president's role is just ministerial, like a secretary. Everyone always thought that was the rule, but because Trump made such a noise and his supporters about such a noise that the vice president could, in effect, change the result, it's probably important that that be clarified. Second, it rather dramatically raises the threshold for objections. Under the current law, all you need to object to the electoral vote of a state and stop the whole process and force the two houses of Congress to meet separately to debate the objections is one member of the House and one member of the Senate, just one from each. The Senate bill raises the threshold to one-fifth of the House and one-fifth of the Senate. So that's a dramatic increase.
Surprisingly, it got near unanimous approval by the Rules Committee. Not surprisingly, the one objection came from Senator Ted Cruz, who, of course, led an effort to challenge Biden's election victory. He said, quote, this bill is all about Donald J. Trump. It is about Donald Trump, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, everyone agrees that the current Electoral Count Act is flawed. It's very unclear. There's a lot of inconsistencies in it. There are particular problems if there's a disagreement from within a state. There was always a problem with that very low threshold of objections, although until recently it had hardly been used. But certainly the 2020 election, the 2021 attack on Congress, January 6th, just sort of highlighted the significance of these uncertainties and the extreme importance of getting them resolved.
And that's Richard Briffaut, a professor at Columbia Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And again, futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 22 points, Dow futures up 140, NASDAQ futures up 62, and the DAX in Germany is up 0.8%, and the 10-year Treasury up 21/32, yield 3.70%, yield on the 2-year 4.15%, and the euro 0.9802 against the dollar. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.